Tuesday, January 6th. The first reading from the first letter of St. John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might have life through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins. Haydock Commentary. Let us love one another. This is the repeated admonition of St. John the Evangelist, both in this epistle and to the end of his life, as St. Jerome relates. He says that the apostle, being very old, and when carried to church meetings of the Christians, being desired to give them some exhortation, he scarce said anything but, "Love one another." And it being tedious to his disciples to hear always the same thing, they desired some other instruction, to whom St. John gave this answer, that this was the precept of our Lord, and that if complied with, it was sufficient. The love of God is the fountain and source of all goodness and mercy, infinitely good in himself, and in his love and mercy towards mankind. This love and charity of God hath appeared by his sending his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Thus God, having first loved us when we were sinners and his enemies, let us not be so ungrateful as not to love him, and love one another after his example. The Gospel from Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 44. When Jesus saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. By now it was already late, and his disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already very late. Dismiss them so that they can go to the surrounding farms and villages and buy themselves something to eat." He said to them in reply, "Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Are we to buy 200 days' wages worth of food and give it to them to eat?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five loaves and two fish." So he gave orders to have them sit down in groups on the green grass. The people took their places in rows by hundreds and by fifties. Then, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 wicker baskets full of fragments and what was left of the fish. Those who ate of the loaves were 5,000 men. From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. Give you them to eat. This he says for our instruction, that when the poor ask us alms, we send them not to other persons and other places if we are able to relieve them ourselves. The loaves miraculously increased partly in the hands of Christ when he broke them, partly in the hands of the disciples when they distributed them about. He blessed them. From this let Christians learn to give thanks at their meals, begging of God that his gifts may be sanctified for their use. From this miracle it appears that it is no impossibility for bodies, even in their natural state, to be in many places at the same time. Since, supposing these loaves to have been sufficient for 50 persons, as there were 100 such companies, the loaves must have been in 100 different places at one and the same time. It cannot be said, as some pretend, that other loaves were invisibly put into the apostles' hands, since it is said that they filled 12 baskets of fragments of the 5 barley loaves. If God could cause bodies in their natural state to be in many places at one and the same time, how much more easy would it be to do the same with spiritual bodies, with the properties of which we are entirely unacquainted? So that from this it appears that the objection that Christ's body cannot be in many different places in the Holy Eucharist is nugatory. Who are we to ask such a question of the Almighty, who know not what is possible and what is not possible for him to do? This miraculous multiplication of the loaves was effected on a Thursday evening, an excellent figure of the Blessed Eucharist. On the next morning, Friday, he cured the sick at Gennesaret and arrived at Capernaum for the first vespers of the Sabbath, where, in the synagogue, he made his promise of the Holy Eucharist, which he instituted on a Thursday evening, the eve of his death.